Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. 90% of deaf or hard of hearing children are born to hearing parents who have little or no knowledge of deafness. Understandably, many of these families want to raise their child who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn to talk via listening alone, just like they did. Sophisticated hearing technology and the early identification of hearing loss make this possible. The Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, shares conversations that I've coached parents through to facilitate their deaf or hard of hearing child achieving his developmental milestones and smoothing out bumps along the way, all of which are so essential to bringing your child who is deaf or hard of hearing to age-appropriate or ahead-of-age development, ready to graduate from early intervention services. This show culminates in celebrating the accomplishments of these energetic teenagers and emerging adults as they revel in the abundant choices that have opened up for them as a result of being able to participate in a hearing world. So come have a listen and experience the joy of raising a baby who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn, think and talk via listening alone, via auditory verbal therapy, knowing that with early identification, sophisticated modern hearing technology and appropriate services, your child too can enjoy life in all its fullness, free of limitations. So welcome. The show notes below following each episode with their top tips and timestamps allow you to revisit these conversations. And if you need my help in any way, the links given below will help you reach me. There are a number of specific techniques that we use in auditory verbal therapy to instill the habit of listening and talking in our children who are deaf or hard of hearing. We refer to these techniques as auditory verbal techniques or AV techniques. Sabotage is one of them, where we deliberately scuttle a situation to provoke the child to do something or say something in accordance with a planned goal or target. Hopefully, this will help you follow our discussion in this episode better when you hear us refer to the AV technique, sabotage. Modeling is another really useful auditory verbal technique where we present our deaf or hard of hearing child with the complete language pattern, whether it's a question, a statement, the use of a vocabulary word or a concept, we present it in its entirety, offering our child the opportunity to listen and imitate. I trust this will help you as you listen in to the conversation. Following on the heels of that first worry in all of us, whether parents or professionals working with babies, toddlers, and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing, is my child understanding? Comes the question or the worry that my child isn't talking. So I thought that we would discuss this head on and devote an entire episode to discussing the topic, my child isn't talking. Auditory verbal therapy is a science. Therefore, in our practice, we need to ensure that the science of auditory verbal therapy is in place. And what do we mean by that? It is the element or the segment of audiology. And the only way to ensure that the science of auditory verbal therapy is in place is with data. So the first question that comes to mind when any family worries about the fact that their child isn't talking is, let's look at the science. And what is the science saying? Does this child have sufficient access to the speech signal? And that is a question to ask your child's audiologist. It's not just a question of having access, it's a question of sufficient access. And sufficient access comes with optimal amplification. Ideally, we want our child to be able to hear all elements of conversational speech: soft conversation, conversation at a distance, and to be able to listen in noise, and eventually for some to even talk on the telephone. But this can't come all of a sudden, right? It can't come all at once, because that's too much information too soon for this infant who's just been fitted with hearing aids or who's had her cochlear implant just activated. But yet, this access has to open up in a timely frame because, let's face it, we're in a race against time. We have to catch up with other children with typical hearing the same age as our child. So within that time frame, we are looking to go from limited access of the speech signal to, as a result of optimal amplification, being able to access all speech information, that is, soft conversation, conversation at a distance, and to be able to listen and understand in noise. So as I said, that goes back to audiology. Does the child have sufficient access to the speech signal? And if not, hearing aids need to be reset and speech processors of cochlear implants have to be mapped such that those levels, whether they are the levels on your hearing aid or on your speech processor, match the current level of functioning and listening ability of your child. That data then gets validated by doing an aided audiogram if your child is hearing aided and a CI-assisted audiogram if your child is cochlear implanted. But I'm not an audiologist, so let's leave that to the audiologist serving your child and your family. Once we've ruled out that the science is in place, that the audiology is in fact doing what it needs to, that our child has the access that she needs to be able to hear the speech signal sufficiently clearly so as to be able to imitate clearly and therefore talk clearly. Once that has been ruled out, we can then look closer at why is it that this child isn't talking, or, to modify the question, why is it that your child isn't talking, quote unquote, enough? So that takes us to the art of auditory verbal therapy, as well as some of the science in terms of speech acoustics, but to the pragmatics of spoken language communication. What is the practical application of human beings wanting to talk? There are four major points that I will be making in the course of this episode. And I will be joined in conversation by Sheena Kurian, who has joined me before and who will join me again. So thank you, Sheena, for all your support. Let's start with the pragmatics and that first aspect of being a human being, which is our curiosity. The human brain is a curious thing. It wants to learn. And most importantly, it wants to communicate. And in infants, toddlers, and young children, we call that communicative intent, because they may not as yet be able to talk in words or to verbalize their thoughts, to verbalize their feelings and their wants. So how do they do it, then you probably ask yourself? Well, they do it with their voice, which is very strident, and they are very vocal as little infants. So you know exactly whether they're grumbling, whether they're cooing in with pleasure, whether they're laughing, or whether they're just tired and want to go to bed and want a cuddle. It's also with their gaze. And I will be coming back to that gaze that lets us know that they want to say something and that whatever we said to them has been understood. So, human beings are born with communicative intent, some with a stronger communicative intent than others. The question we can ask ourselves as parents, caregivers, and professionals is, are we supporting our child's communicative intent? And are we creating sufficient opportunity for our child to be able to become a better spoken language communicator and a fluent speaker? And if not, the question is then, well, what do we do about it? So that brings me to the second point I want to make, and that is that auditory verbal therapy is rooted in natural patterns of development, and that means it follows the developmental patterns of children with typical hearing. And what that translates into is that infants with typical hearing have an understanding of what is said to them before those first words come tumbling out, before the first phrases and eventually those sentences come tumbling out. So the bedrock of spoken language, which some of us refer to as talking, is a very firm and solid foundation of receptive language, or the ability to understand what is being said to us. So to do that, are we engaging our baby in conversation? Which takes us back to episode 5, where Warren Estabrooks and I have this long discussion on how we use conversation to get to conversation. So if you haven't had a listen to that, please do so. And if you don't remember it, go back and listen again. So it is on that bedrock of receptive language that we build by engaging our infant, toddler, and young child in conversation, that we feed that communicative intent so that our child wants to talk. And he has the receptive vocabulary to be able to then translate his wants, desires, his thoughts into the words of his mother tongue. And the third aspect of it is, are we using so many of the auditory verbal therapy techniques that really support our children's talking, specifically the wait cue? Sometimes we are so busy trying to stuff all that language into our child like they are some inflatable balloons that we forget to honor their communicative intent by just waiting for them to show us what they want to say, how they feel, what they want, what they don't want, what they like. And as I've said repeatedly over many past episodes, it might be as simple as a glance. They look at the ball and you know they want to play with it. Or they look at you with this imploring look on their face and you know that your two-month baby wants to be picked up and cuddled. But did we wait to see it? And when we wait, are we waiting sufficiently? And we talk about this in episode 5 with Warren Estabrooks, as well as in the episode that is completely dedicated to the magic of the wait cue, which is in episode 7. And when we wait, Remember to wait until it hurts. And then, as Warren Estabrook says, wait a little more. And we wait and we are looking at our baby and we lean forward. And it is our expression, the love in our eyes and our body posture that is very suggestive of an invitation, to come on, partner me and talk to me. I'm waiting for you. What is it you want to say? So sometimes, and more often than not, children just need to be given that time and space to be able to recognize the opportunity that they can express their thoughts and their desires, their wants and their needs. That's all it takes, is for us to wait. It's that simple and it's that painful because we are so used to controlling everything. The next auditory verbal technique that is really useful in inviting our child's participation and getting him to talk or express himself is the technique of sabotage, where we deliberately scuttle the situation or we feign ignorance, for example. And of course, all this is bathed in the basket of conversation. The best way to make this something that you can relate to is by sharing this conversation I had. So have a listen.
But the I'll or I will is not there. If you've noticed in the examples, will or I'll is omitted.
But you still understood what he was saying. But you still understood what he said.
I understood what he said.
So what? Let's do this, that we take note. Yeah, we take note of what aspects of, say, perhaps grammar we need to work more on. But that's not going to stop the conversation. It's not going to stop the pace or the enthusiasm with which we're going to continue the conversation, because we're not going to interrupt the conversation to correct grammar, because then that's going to break the flow.
I tend to do that a lot. I keep saying, I will. So
yeah, that's different when you're modeling. No. So when you model, that's different. But you would wait for your turn to speak, right?
Yes.
And when he completes a sentence. Yeah, go ahead.
No, when he completes a sentence, and if he's missed out on will, I'll say, I'll correct him and I'll tell him the correct sentence.
How about when he said, I pick up the paper, if we had just at that point responded and said, I'll pick it up, I'll do it, don't worry, you carry on. So you're contributing, you're continuing the conversation, but you're also modeling. So in the moment, continue the conversation, because that's the most important thing, to keep that conversation going.
With the correct grammar though.
But you're just modeling. You're just modeling the correct form. And if he's attentive enough, he'll pick it up, and I'm pretty sure he will. But if he doesn't, it's not going to be a conversation breaker.
No. And then the last one he said was the dad and the boy in the toy shop. Daddy. Let's take this toy car, said the boy. Dad, of course, I give it to you. Yay, thank you, Daddy. Dad, you most welcome.
Oh, sweet. I think that's the sweetest.
You most welcome. He's been using this a lot. I think they're using it in school or something.
School, yeah.
You most welcome.
So, to go back to your point of that you're not so satisfied with the contributions that he came up with. Why do you think?
Like, I kept telling, imagine, like, for example, a toy shop. I was like, imagine it's like you and Appa going to a toy store to get a toy. What would you just imagine. So the boy and his Appa has gone to the toy store like you and Appa. So what will they say? What do you think they're telling each other? So I kind of expected a more, this is like...
So just finish that sentence and I'll tell you why. Finish that sentence. You were expecting more of a...
natural conversation, you know?
Now, think about the last time you went to a store, a toy store, or any store, even for Christmas decorations or whatever. Was there any conversation between you? Because we discussed it last time, if you remember.
I clearly remember saying, we are taking only one thing from the shop. You are allowed to buy only one thing from the shop. And then he was like, I want this, I want that, I want this. I said, no, only one thing. We promised we're going to take only one thing from the shop. That is the only thing I remember saying.
So rather than saying no, oh, we're going to take only one thing, suppose you say, how about we choose the best one? You know, so we are not saying, no, you can't have something else. Because, I mean, sometimes when we say, no, you can't do this, then I very much want to do just what you said no to. You know, it's just a B-minded nature in all of us. So it's like, what I'm saying is, if you put it as a positive that, and you choose, I'm not going to choose. You choose what you think is the best. And then we'll just take the best one back. Like, it's such a privilege to be taking the best one. You know what I mean? But I want to make the larger point, which is it there's not that much conversation, that is more transactional talking rather than a conversation. And so he doesn't have the bank, the conversational bank that you thought he had or that you want him to have.
That could be a possibility.
So how are we going to change that now? Let's take an opportunity that perhaps presented itself today or this week or a month ago or whenever. And let's try and replay that and see how we could have made it conversational rather than transactional. And so the conversations continue. Thank you so much for your time and interest and for listening to this episode all the way to the end. The one thought that I'd like to leave you with is, so think about what it is that is coming in the way of your child's talking. Is it the lack of conversational opportunity? Is it maybe that we are just so anxious that we are talking all the time and not waiting sufficiently, not giving our child the opportunity to talk, not inviting him into the discussion? It takes some reflection and a lot of honesty. But trust me, once you have that answer, there's nothing that can stop you or your child from becoming a chatterbox. Coming up next on the podcast is an episode that addresses the third worry. Is my child progressing? So if that is something that resonates with you, make sure that you join us and listen in. If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at Soundsteps, whether in person or online with me, Chef Ali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.